And of course, you know, don't forget your giving. I mean, I just want to thank everybody for their generosity and faithfulness. You have thoroughly blessed our guests. My brother-in-law was overwhelmed. And you're sowing good seed, and God will multiply it back to you. Amen? Praise God. Well, are you hungry tonight? You know, how many are really interested in growing spiritually? I mean, you don't want to look back a year from now and you want to say, wow, I only moved an inch, you know? You want to make some progress in the knowledge of God. And what we're going to continue to talk about tonight, we started last week, and, you know, there are really two components. Now, these are not the end-all. These are not all-inclusive, but there are two components that will help you grow spiritually. It'll help you grow in God. You know, when God plants a tree, he expects that tree to grow. Yeah, and he'll supply that tree with all the nutrients. He'll pull all the reeds around it. And he does expect us to be fruitful, to lead fruitful lives. But if you're going to lead a fruitful life as a Christian, you're going to have to gain some wisdom. Because how many know that in life you have choices? And when you become a Christian, you have a new set of standards to guide your choices, right? You want to choose things that produce life, not death. So you're going to need wisdom. And then a second component that you're going to need for your growth is you're going to need revelation, because there's things that you don't know. And we don't know the things that we don't know until God shows us. Hey, here it is. You can have it. Oh, I didn't know this. This is so cool. You know, and the Bible is the primary way that God reveals himself. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word is God. So God revealed himself. He revealed things about his kingdom through his Word. And so if you go to Ephesians chapter 1, and verse 17, you know, Paul, he's praying for the church, because Paul, he started a lot of these churches, and he had a burden for them to grow and increase spiritually, okay? And this is really his focus. So he prays this prayer for the church in Ephesus. And in verse 17, it says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So God wants to give you the spirit of wisdom. Now, the spirit of wisdom is the Holy Spirit. It's not some different spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit's job to bring you into all truth. And how he brings you into all truth is he reveals things. He uncovers things. He unveils things. He shows you things. Okay? So these are two very important components for spiritual growth. And Paul is praying, and guess what? You can pray for these things. If Paul prayed for the church, you can pray for you. You can just insert your name. Say that the God of my Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto Doug the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes, that Doug's eyes of understanding are being enlightened. Notice being enlightened. That's ongoing. God just doesn't turn the light on and say, oh, that was it. That Doug may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of his glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. So we see from this passage of Scripture that there are three things that God wants you to know. Say, God wants me to know some things. Okay? And there are three things that he wants you to have. All right? And he wants you to have the spirit of wisdom. He wants you to have revelation in the knowledge of him. And he wants you to have the awesomeness of his power. How many want God's power? How many want God's wisdom? How many want God's revelation? Say, I can have it. Say, thank you very much. All right? Then there's things that he wants you to know. He wants you to know what is the hope of his calling. Hope is expectation. How many know that God's got a calling for each one of you? Do you know all the ins and outs of your calling? Well, then he's got to show you some things, right? Maybe some of you are training for your calling. Because how many know that God will equip people, and every calling requires different training, okay? God will train you for what you need to do, for what he's created you for. He will train you, all right? And the training is different for everybody. So don't get caught up in exalting, oh, well, my training is better than your training. Well, it all depends on what you're called to do, all right? So he wants you to know the hope of his calling. He wants you to know the riches of the glory of your inheritance. I'm telling you, you've got a glorious inheritance. Now, I could run around the building just on that word. I mean, I get super excited about inheritance. I mean, it's just like fireworks are going off on the inside of me right now. So I'm just going to contain myself and get past this point. But I'm passionate about inheritance because that's what God's called me to help people find their inheritance and treasure in God's word. So every time I see the word inheritance in the Bible, there's times I read and go, woo, hoo, 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 yeah. Well, I get excited about what God's called me to do. I don't know if you do, but I do. Anyway, moving on. And then he wants you to know the exceeding greatness of his power. Now, he doesn't just want you to know facts about these things. He wants you to experience these things. He wants you to encounter these things. He wants you to walk in these things. You know, you're supposed to walk in what you're called to do. What does that mean? Whatever you're called to do, it should occur wherever you are. Do you realize, looking back on my life, when I was lean and green, I say green because I was just starting out, you know, I didn't really know what God had for me. But we would sit around in coffee shops because where I lived, there were 3 truck stops that were open 24 hours a day. And you could get a cup of coffee for $1 and you could sit there for hours until you started to shake because you had too much coffee. But we would have conversations. You know, we'd go to church and we'd go to the truck stops. And people would have these questions. They'd say, well, I'm believing God for this. And I would just ask this question, not knowing that that was part of my calling, but I would say, well, what scriptures are you standing on to say that that's yours? And they'd be like, huh? And I would say, well, it's the word of God that tells you what's yours. So if you don't have any scriptures on, how do you know that God wants you to have it? But looking back, that was before I understood and knew what I was called to do, but it was coming out of me. Thank God that God gave me understanding, and now I know what that means. You know, I have a lot more understanding now than what I did then. All right? So there's things that God wants you to know and things that God wants you to have, and they're connected with the spirit of wisdom and revelation. All right? So let's define these a little bit so that you can understand, and then we're going to give you some examples of these. All right? The spirit of wisdom and revelation. It's notice that God gives you, he wants you to have the spirit of wisdom. You know, he wants you to have a heart of wisdom. Now, the Bible is our wisdom. Jesus is our wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. Isn't that interesting how Proverbs 4:7 says wisdom is the principal thing? It didn't say faith was the principal thing. It said wisdom. You know, if most people have a problem, it's a wisdom problem. It's a wisdom problem. When people are facing problems, they need wisdom. Say, wisdom solves problems. And when you operate in wisdom, sometimes you can avoid problems. All right? But we have a spirit of wisdom that will help you solve problems, that will help you make good choices. How many know that the Holy Spirit will lead God and direct you to make choices? You know, Paul was, he thought that he was going to be going into Asia. And so he was making plans to go into Asia, but the Holy Spirit said, no, I don't want you going to Asia. Well, then, okay, Paul said, okay, then where do you want me to go? He had a dream of a man from Macedonia saying, come over here. So guess what? Paul said, I think I'll go to Macedonia. And that's where the Holy Spirit wanted Paul to go. He didn't want him to go over here. Why? I don't know. You have to ask the Holy Spirit. Listen, he doesn't always give you the details as to why or why not. You just got to obey what he says. All right? If God doesn't want you here, don't be here. Go over there where he wants you. Okay? So this spiritual wisdom, then, it'll make you wise in spiritual things. It'll make you wise about God. It'll make you wise about his kingdom. All right? And in the knowledge of him. You realize salvation is all based about knowledge? John 17:3, this salvation is this, that you know the one true God and Jesus Christ whom he sent. Salvation is about who you know. All right? It's about having a knowledge. Now, you know, we all know about our president, right? But how many of us have ever been invited to the White House? So we can know about something, but it's knowing about something is different than knowing him, right? If you were a friend of the president, he may call you up and just have you over at the White House because you have a relationship. See, now when we know God, we have a relationship with God. You enter and he shows you things. He shows you what he likes and what he doesn't like. So that's what this knowledge is. It's not just facts, but it's the experience. It's the application. And that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that means that God gives light to your soul. What your eyes are to your body, understanding is to your soul. Your eyes take in light, right? And you look at something, and what you're seeing goes to your brain, and your brain tells you what you're seeing, right? But your brain uses the eyes to make out the image. So understanding does to your soul what your eyes do to your body. All right? So you could say that understanding is the eye to your soul. Okay? And you know, understanding has to do with light. This enlightenment, this is a really cool word. It means to shed rays, to shine, or to brighten up. So God wants to shine. When he's saying your eyes of understanding be enlightened, it means they're shining there. It means there's luminous there. You know, I think it's so cool that when you have a watch, I love those watches with the luminous dials. Well, you don't have to press a button, but they just kind of glow in the dark. I think those are so cool, you know? But they're called luminating because it produces light. It helps you see in the darkness. So you can tell what time it is at 3:00 in the morning. But this word, it means to make manifest. This word enlightened means to make manifest, especially by rays, like the rays of sunshine. Isn't it awesome that, for those of you that are going to Guyana, you're going to find that at 6:00 in the morning, the sun is going to shine bright. You're going to wake up and you're going to be like, oh my God, it's bright. It's like that every day unless it rains. I mean, it is bright in the morning. So if you're not a morning person, pray now that God changes you. Because you're going to see that light and it's going to illuminate things. It's going to be bright. All right? And so this word enlighten also means to show or to make known one's thoughts. Well, you say, well, we can't think God's thoughts, can't we? Even though his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, doesn't he share his thoughts with us? Does the Bible say to have the mind of Christ? And really, if you study that out, the mind of Christ really is the Holy Spirit. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, if you have the same mind, you certainly would have the same thoughts. Right? Say, I can think God's thoughts. Amen. You know, Jesus said, I'm the light of the world, and in me there is no darkness. So, light has an exposing effect. All right? It has a way of uncovering things. You ever see something in the dark and you couldn't see it until you shined a light on it? But when you shine the light on it, you realized, oh, that's what it is. See, the light helped you to understand something that you couldn't understand without the light. We need light. You know, the entrance of God's word gives light. His word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. All right? And, you know, go with me to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. I want to show you that revelation brings changes to a person's life, and sometimes they cannot change unless they have a revelation of truth. Okay? Say, revelation helps me change. Okay? All right, and this is the story of the prodigal son. And verse 11, Luke 15, 11, and he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. And he divided unto them his living. Isn't it interesting how one son asked, but they both got their inheritance? Now, I want you to see that the younger son had a mentality of here and now. He did not have a mentality of the future, okay? He was only concerned about pleasing himself now, okay? Some of us could probably relate to that. And many days, and not many days, after the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Okay? When you think of only here and now, you're going to be wasteful. And if you're thinking of here and now, you're not going to prepare for the future. How many know that God already planned the marriage supper of the Lamb that hasn't even occurred yet? He's had that planned because why? God thinks about the future. Okay? And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. He was in want because he lacked a revelation. He lacked knowledge of the truth. He lacked understanding on how to manage his resources. Okay? I'm going to show you that this is going to become more apparent here in just a moment. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. Let me tell you something. We were at a farm one day that you could hunt pheasants. You actually had to pay, and they would release these pheasants, then you'd go hunt them. And you might as well just go to the store and buy pheasant, but hey, then you wouldn't have the adventure of hunting them. And at this farm, they had two pigs in this pen. And I happened to be watching those pigs. I was watching what those pigs eat. And let me tell you, none of that appealed to me. I had no desire to eat what those pigs were eating. So you got to understand, you got to be in a pretty bad state to want to eat what pigs are eating. I'm just going to say this. There was another animal in with those pigs, and the pigs acted like vacuum cleaners, and that's all I'm going to say about it. When that one animal left things behind, the pigs cleaned it up. Now your minds are, let's clean up your minds, all right? See, when you don't have a revelation, when you don't have understanding, you're going to join yourself to the wrong people. You're going to end up in the wrong place. Everything that this son was experiencing was based on the choices that he made. He made choices void of wisdom. Okay? And no man gave to him. See, when you lack wisdom, when you lack a revelation, you will lack everything. When he came to himself, he now just received a revelation. See, his situation couldn't change prior to this because he didn't have a revelation. He wasn't in a place. See, if your mind is messed up, so will your life be. Because your body follows your thoughts. The thoughts that you dwell on are the thoughts that you speak, and that's the actions that you take. How do I know this? Because when David should have been at war, he decided to stay home. And he couldn't sleep because the devil sent a demon to disturb his sleep. And so he's walking on the king's palace that was above everything else. And he happened to see a lady there who was bathing. And if you know how men are wired, we're wired for sight. And he began to dwell on the wrong thing. And what happened? David's actions were a direct result of what he was thinking. He took actions because he allowed those thoughts to get into his heart. And those thoughts then became actions. All right? This is how sin works. Sin starts as a thought. And then you dwell on that thought long enough, and then it becomes an action. And when it becomes an action, you're trapped. And the only way to get out is to repent. But there still may be some consequences. All right? See, he came to himself. He sobered in his mind. Doesn't Peter tell us to be sober-minded? You got to have a mentality to come against the enemy. And that comes through a revelation of knowing who you are in Christ and what he's given you. When you know who you are in Christ and what he's given you, when the devil tries to mess with that, you have to resist him because you know who you are and what you've been given. So when you know who you are and what you get, that's a revelation. This man's revelation was this. How many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and are no more worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your servants. He got a revelation. My goodness, my father's servants are better than me. That's a revelation. That was what, do you realize he couldn't change until he had a revelation? Do you see the power that a revelation brought to him? He began to understand that, you know, God was trying to get him to humble himself. See, prior to this, the prodigal son was arrogant and proud. Gimme, gimme, gimme. I want what's mine. I want it now. That's what our flesh says. I want it now. Give it to me now. And we all know that if we don't check our flesh will get out of control. Because our flesh is never satisfied. It always wants more. How do I know that? Thanksgiving. How many of us have to loosen our belts? Because we just keep putting more in. See, but I want you to see that how a revelation changed his situation. God wants you to have the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. He begins to see the graciousness of God. He's seeing how good his father is to his servants. He's getting a revelation of how good God is to us. And it was this revelation. Verse 20, he arose and came to his father. It was based on the change that took place in his mind. It was based on the light that he was getting now. That's what brought the change in his life. He couldn't change until he got a revelation. See, if you don't have a revelation, you will remain in the bondage that you're in. You need a revelation. Revelation breaks chains. Revelation instills freedom. Revelation is God's anointed picture of what he wants you to have. You know the story of Elijah? God sent him to a widow. And when he came to the city, to make a long story short, he saw this widow gathering sticks, and she was going to make a cake for her and for her son, and then she was going to die. So she had enough flour to make two cakes. Now, this is in the midst of a famine that Elijah caused. Who was the one that shut up heaven? It was Elijah who went to Ahab and said, it's not going to rain except at my word. Because he was doing that because God led him to. He had a revelation. So he goes to this woman, and this woman describes her situation. Well, this is all I have. But you know what Elijah does? Elijah paints a different picture. Elijah gives her a revelation. He said, if you give it to me first, if you honor God first, this is what's going to happen for you. And she got a revelation of a bigger picture, but in order to get the bigger picture, she had to lose what she had. If you want the big, sometimes, you know, you need to invest in your revelation. And what happened? She gave the cake to Elijah, and then the Bible said he and her son ate many days, however long the famine lasted. Because she got a revelation that she could have more. What she had wasn't enough. But if she gave what she had, she could have more. And she accepted that revelation, and that's what changed her situation. So, this guy arose because he got a revelation. He came to his father, but when he was yet a great far away off, his father saw him and had compassion on him, and he fell on his neck and kissed him. Isn't that the picture? He was seeing the goodness of God. He finally had an understanding of how good he had it with his father. His whole life was changed because he got a revelation. He got understanding. He got wisdom. Wisdom caused him to leave the pig pen and go back to his daddy's house. Without a revelation, without wisdom, he'd have still been in the mud. All right? You want to look at another one? Let's go to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. And I want to show you another one. Verses 9 through 11. Well, we just have to read verse 9, actually. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. What do you all we can do is speculate, because we don't have enough information about how Mary was when she had seven devils in her. Now, the number seven stands for the number of completeness. So when the Bible says she had seven devils, she was fully possessed by devils, by evil, by darkness. So when someone is possessed by devils, their actions, they reflect darkness, death, destruction, all kinds of things. I mean, it must have been awful the way she lived. She had seven devils. Now, when I got saved, I don't know that I had any devils in me. I mean, I wasn't possessed. But we know. So what happened? She encountered Jesus. That was like getting a revelation. And Jesus appeared to her wherever she was, and he cast out the devils. And he put something else on the inside of her. How do I know that? Because here she is at the tomb. She is the first one Jesus appears to when he rose from the dead, because she's walking in the revelation. She's walking in the revelation that she got, that Jesus is the author of life, that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus is the Savior, that Jesus is the Messiah. She's walking it. She's living it. She's carrying it out. She has the spirit of wisdom. She has the spirit of revelation. She has understanding, and she's walking it out. See, you can tell when someone gets a revelation, because then they start to put it into practice. They start to take ownership of what God showed them. Caleb was told that he was going to get a particular mountain. And he went to Joshua. Now, this had been 40 years. I don't know where in the time frame, where in the 40 years that Moses promised Caleb the mountain, but Moses had already died now, and Joshua was taking the people in. So it must have been a few years. Do you realize he never let go of that revelation? Because when the time came for Caleb to take his mountain, he went to Joshua and he said, "Joshua, you see that mountain? Moses said I could have that mountain. And I'm 80, but I'm as strong now as when I was 40. I'm going to take that mountain because it was mine." See, he grabbed a hold of that revelation. He grabbed a hold of what was shown him. He grabbed a hold of what was spoken to him, and he made it his. So if you're a person that embraces the things that God shows you, you're going to begin to walk them out in your life. You're going to begin to walk like they're yours. You're going to begin to act like they're yours. You're going to begin to speak like they're yours. How many know Abraham got a revelation that he was going to be a father? And he didn't care how long he had to wait. He didn't care how long he had to talk. He didn't care how long he was going to be a father. And guess what? He became a father. How many times do you read in the life of Abraham, the Lord appeared to him? That's giving a revelation. Do you realize a revelation can come by you seeing or by you hearing? You can dream it. An angel can appear to you. God can speak it to you. He can put it on your heart. You can read it in the Bible. When I read Galatians 3:29 that day at Rhema Bible Training Center, sitting in class, I claimed it. I stuck my claim and I said, "Pastor Pishka's ministry." I had just gotten a revelation. But the understanding of that came later. And guess what? Today I'm walking in it. Today I'm carrying it out. Today I'm doing it. So Mary Magdalene, she had an encounter with the Lord that utterly changed her life. She no longer lived the way that the seven devils made her live, or the things that they made her do. Okay? Let's look at one more. Go to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. What am I showing you? I'm showing you the power of a revelation. When God shows you something, he's showing it so that what he's showing you, what he's telling you, what he's revealing to you can change your life. It can change the direction. It can change the course of things. Do you realize it can change generations? Where did David get the thought that he wanted to build God a house? God even told him, he said, "No one has ever said that to me." But David loved God so much that he wanted to build a house. Now, God showed him that he wasn't going to be the one to build it. But God didn't say that I couldn't provide for it. And how many know that in all the battles that he fought, he was putting money aside in the temple account? And when it came time for him to give the money, you look at what he gave in 1 Chronicles 29. If you were to add up all the prices of the gold and stuff that he gave out of his own personal account, it's over $1 million or $1 billion. See, he just simply had a revelation. He wanted God to build the house, and so he went ahead. He didn't get to build it, but he got to provide all the money for it. All right, Mark chapter 5. And when they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. When he was come out of the ship, who's he talking about here? Who came out of the ship? Jesus. Okay? Jesus is the Word incarnate. Jesus is a walking, talking, living, breathing revelation. What did John, what was John's book? The revelation of Jesus Christ. He wrote down things that God, he saw that God showed him because God gave him a revelation. So he got a whole book written about it. So Jesus, he gets out of the ship, and immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. He wasn't a grave robber. He lived in the grave sites. He lived in the tombs. But this guy who had a tomb, he had tomb thinking and tomb living, was about to change because he was about to get a revelation of truth. And the revelation was that you don't have to be bound by devils. Amen? Say, I don't have to be bound by devils. Okay, verse 3. He had his dwelling among the tombs. No man could bind him, no, not with chains. Okay, for someone to break chains, they got to be pretty strong, right? People tried to bind him, but he would break the chains. You couldn't bind him with chains, couldn't bind him with people. Guess what? Revelation is not natural. It's supernatural. You need something supernatural to come in and change the natural. You need something greater to come in and change the lesser. All right? Okay. He had been often bound with fetters, that's shackles, and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him. You know, he would have been good for the power team. All right? If you know who the power team was, they're strong guys that do acts of strength, and then they preach the gospel. And fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. Okay? He was wilder than a lion. No man could tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. You know anybody that cuts themselves? They're motivated by an unclean spirit. And they need a revelation of God's love to change their situation. I want you to see the behavior that this guy was doing because he was possessed. Okay? It gives us a glimpse of what Mary Magdalene might have been like with seven devils. Okay? But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. Isn't this amazing? That a man who is possessed is worshiping Jesus. Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. When the Word walks onto the scene, something's going to change. Amen? Because the Word is the supreme authority. And Jesus was there to show him that God loved him. Okay? No man could tame him, but the Word could tame him. No man could free him, but the Word could free him. All right? And he cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" Isn't it interesting how the devils knew who he was? "I adjure you by God that you torment me not." He understood that Jesus had the means and the authority to do what he wanted to do. "For he said unto him, come out of the man, you unclean spirit." I love Jesus. He doesn't have conversations with the devil. He says, "Come out, hold your peace, be silent, go." Those are his conversations with the devils. He said, "Come out of him." He didn't even talk to the man. He's talking to the spirit. And he asked him, "What is your name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." I wonder how many devils he had in there. And he besought him that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was near unto them the mountains a great herd of swine, and all the devils besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them." I don't know what it is about pigs, but the devils like pigs. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out. They had to do what he said. Guess what? They have to do what you say too. When you speak in the name of Jesus, there's no devil, there's no demon, there's no unclean spirit, there's no principality, there's no power, there's no spiritual wickedness in high places that can go against what you say in the name of Jesus. But you've got to get a revelation of your authority and the power that you walk in and the name of Jesus. When you have an understanding of the name of Jesus, when you know that he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world, that there's nothing in the world that you can't face, that the greatness on the inside of you can't deal with. Notice what happens here. Verse 15. And they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting, clothed, and what? In his right mind. Because he didn't have a revelation of God, he didn't have the right mind. He didn't have the right understanding. We don't know what he did to allow those devils to take possession of him, but how many know that, you know, devils can't just come in your life. They just can't overpower you to come in your life and rule you. You got to give them place. Devils can only come in your life when you give them permission or when you sin. When you sin, you give the devil permission to steal, kill, and destroy from you. That's why Ephesians 4, somewhere in between 20 to 27, says give no place to the devil. That's why he said in Luke 10:19 that we can tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt us. You know, I've encountered some demon-possessed people in my life. And my first encounter was when I was 12 years old. I was only been saved for maybe a couple months. And my sister and her friend and I, we had just went to a church service. And we were outside, and there was this guy sitting on the outside steps of the church. And you could tell he kind of had a dark countenance on him. And we were talking with him, telling him about Jesus, and all of a sudden he just starts shaking uncontrollably, you know? And so we're there, we're taking our authority in the name of Jesus, we're speaking to the situation, and in about 15 minutes, he's totally calm, his countenance changed, and everything about that situation changed. And it's because we had an authority, we had an understanding of who we are in Christ and what he's enabled us to do. And that came because of a revelation that God gave me when I got born again. I knew that I was a child of God. But this person was in his right mind. And the people that were looking at him weren't afraid. Why? It all occurred because of a revelation. That the Word of God went to where he was. And maybe he had never encountered the Word. Because he was possessed, living in the tombs. I mean, you're not going to have a Bible lesson in the grave, you know, when you're living amongst the tombs. You're probably not going to be reading the Word. And because he broke chains, people probably weren't witnessing to him. Come on. I ain't going there, you know. I mean, they heard the cries. They saw the cuts all over his arm. And if you were to encounter this guy, you'd probably run the opposite direction. But Jesus, who was the walking Word, he brought a revelation of God's love and God's authority. And that's what changed this person's life. And that's why it's so important that Paul prayed for the church, that we would have the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Notice, this guy who was possessed had knowledge of him. It wasn't just any knowledge, it was knowledge of him. And that's what brought about the difference in his life. So, it doesn't matter what situation you find yourself in. God has a revelation to get you out. God can show you a divine strategy to change the atmosphere of your home, your workplace, wherever you are. It all comes by the spirit of revelation, of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The more you know about God, the more you can do for God. See, the revelation is God's picture of what He's given you. And wisdom is the ability to use that picture in the here and now. You need both. And, you know, God wants to take you higher. Anybody here tonight that want to go higher? You young people, you need a revelation of God. You know, I was 12 years old when I gave my heart to the Lord. And here's another thing that God spoke to me. When I was in Tennessee, because I was 23 years old, I didn't have to live on campus. So I had my own apartment because for 2 years prior to going to Lee College, I lived on my own at Rhema. So for me to go into a dorm, it just wasn't my fit. All right? And because I liked the freedom. And I didn't want curfew and all that stuff. So I didn't have to live in a dorm, so I lived in this apartment by myself. And the funny thing is, my dad helped me move in, and there was this hill beside this apartment. We didn't know why. Well, at midnight, a train went right by our apartment building, and it looked like it was coming right in the building, but you could see the light. It was like shining right in my front door, and it was very loud, but we couldn't see the tracks. See, the tracks were hidden. I wish God would have given me a revelation that there's a train right there. That would have been good to know. But we didn't know it until the train was rolling down the tracks and my apartment was shaking. But anyway, one day I was getting ready to leave my apartment. And as I was getting ready to leave, God spoke something to my heart. And He said, as I was with Moses and Joshua, I'm going to be with you. And because I relate to Joshua because he brought Israel into the promised land and he distributed their inheritance. And I'm called to help people find their inheritance and treasure in God's word. So, but at different times in my life, there were times when I was struggling. There were times when I didn't know what was ahead. God would speak to me. God would show me something. God would give me a revelation. And I held on to that revelation. And I would pray that revelation. I'd keep that revelation in my heart. I'd keep it with me. When I look back, I can remember all the different times where God would have a person in that moment come and speak to me. I had a Swedish evangelist in the Czech Republic. We were doing a Bible study in the Czech Republic. And this Swedish evangelist began to prophesy over me, and for 45 minutes while he was talking, I'm shaking under the power of God. I just felt like the power of God just came on me like that, and I'm shaking, and I'm going, it was just like the weight of His glory just come on me. And I remember I was preaching in Knoxville, Tennessee at a church, and the pastor, at the end of the service, he says, I got something to tell you. And he began to prophesy over my life and about my future. And when I was in Tennessee, I was in church late one night, and all of a sudden, Pastor Mark Strickland, he goes like this. He points, and I know he's pointing right at me. And I can remember the prophecy that he began to speak over me. My point in saying all that is this, that when you need it the most, God will show you, He'll reveal to you, He'll unveil, He'll give you understanding when you need it the most. Amen? And he wants you to walk in that. He wants you to take ownership of that, because once you get the revelation, the wisdom about it will come. Sometimes it comes at the same time, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes God just shows you a picture, you'd be like, okay, I'm just going to put that on the shelf. But then you'll find that, oh, look, that's that. This is that. How many know that Peter got a revelation on the day of Pentecost when people were saying, oh, you guys are drunk, you're full of new wine. No, he said, this is that. That was spoken by Joel. He got a revelation of what Joel said. And he began to, and it ministered life to the people. See, God wants to minister life to you. He does not want you to be defeated by the enemy. He does not want you to be trapped into a pit, in a pit that you can't get out of. God really doesn't want you to lack any good thing. But it's based on what he shows you and what he tells you. That's going to make the difference in your life. Why don't you stand up? Father, I just give you thanks and praise for your word. And Lord, I don't really know how to minister this to the people, Father, but right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a moment, and we're just going to praise the Lord. And I don't want you to focus on anything else. I don't want you talking to anybody. I don't want you moving around. Your focus needs to be on the Lord. And just begin to praise and worship him. And let him show you things. Let him speak to your heart. Let him unveil something. Let him uncover something. Let him speak to you. Amen? Oh, we bless you, Lord. We praise you. Come on, you got to open your mouth. This is not about silent prayer. You got to open your mouth and let praise come out of your mouth. Some of you need a revelation to change your situation. I just feel like telling you this. A revelation is like a spark that starts the fire. There's some fires that need to be started and restarted in your life. And God's going to use the spirit of revelation and wisdom as the spark to start those fires again in the name of Jesus. So, Father, just let your revelation start that spark right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, God's going to reveal things to you in song. Oh, because he wants you to break chains. He wants you to play like David played when he played for Saul. And Saul was being tormented by the wicked one. And Saul was being tormented, but when David played, God would use his playing and his skill. So continue to develop your skill, continue to walk in that, and let God reveal songs to you. He'll put a new song in your heart. And he wants you to sing those songs on earth. So pay attention to the Lord's voice. And when he gives you those songs, whatever you got to do, put them together. He'll help you. And they'll bring life. And they'll bring blessing in the name of Jesus. God is going to use these hands to bring healing. Not only are you going to repair the physical things that are broken and that are wrong, but he's going to use you to reach deeper into the spirits, into the spirit, and you're going to bring life. God's going to use you as a life-giving tool to many in the name of Jesus. Father, right now, I give you thanks and praise, Lord, that he is walking in who he is called to be. And I thank you, Lord, that because he is faithful to the call, you'll be faithful to provide.